Grant, Lord Jesus, that my healing in your holy wounds I find. Cleanse my spirit, will, and feeling. Heal my body, soul, and mind. When some evil thought within tempts my wayward heart to sin, work in me for its eviction, weighted by your crucifixion. If some lost in current fashion rises like a fiery flood, draw me to your cross and passion, quench the fire, Lord, by your blood. Lest I to the tempter yield, let me front him with the shield. Thorn-crowned blood my tree displaying, sign the devil's undismaying. Beckoned by the world's old question, going my broad easy road, let me turn from its suggestion to the agonizing load, which for me you did endure, let me thusly thoughts impure. Lest I toil with soiled emotions, losing joy in blessed devotions. Where the wound is and the hurting, pour in oil and cleansing wine. Let your cross its power asserting touch my life with grace divine. Every bitter cup makes sweet, bread of comfort let me eat. For you won my soul's salvation, by your death for every nation. Jesus, rock of strength, my tower, in your death I put my trust. When you died, death lost its power. When you rose, it turned to dust. Let your bitter agony, suffered for us, comfort me. Dying, Lord, in its protection, I have life and resurrection.
The introit's in your pink insert. We stand. Plead my cause, O Lord, with those who strive with me. Fight against those who fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler, and stand up for my help. Draw out the spear and stop those who pursue me. Say to my soul, I am your salvation. Fierce witnesses rise up. They've charged me with things that I do not know. They reward me evil for good, to the sorrow of my soul. This you have seen, O Lord, do not keep silence. O Lord, do not be far from me.
Plead my cause, O Lord, with those who strive with me. Fight against those who fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler, and stand up for my help. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we implore you that we, who amid so many adversities do fail through our own infirmities, may be restored through the passion and intercession of your only begotten Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading for Holy Monday is from the 50th chapter of Isaiah. The Lord has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. Nor did I turn away. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who plucked out the beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed. He is near who justifies me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near. Surely the Lord God will help me. Who is he who condemns me? Indeed, they will all grow old like a garment. The moth will eat them up. Who among you fears the Lord? Who obeys the voice of his servant? Who trusts? Who walks in darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely upon his God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Stir up yourself and awake to my vindication. To my cause, my God and my Lord. Draw out the spear and stop those who pursue me. Say to my soul, I am your salvation. Let those be put to shame and brought to dishonor who seek after my life. Let those be turned back and brought to confusion who plot my hurt.
The epistle is from the second chapter of 1 Peter. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. This is the word of the Lord. You stand.
He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. Oh, do not remember former iniquities against us. Let your tender mercies come speedily to meet us. Help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of your name. Deliver us and provide atonement for our sins, for your name's sake.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 12th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. Then one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, "Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not have always." Now a great many of the Jews knew that he was there, and they came, not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might also see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests plotted to put Lazarus to death also, because on account of him many of the Jews went away and believed in Jesus. The next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Then Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat on it, as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written about him and that he had done these things to him. Therefore, the people who were with him, when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead, bore witness. For this reason, the people also met him, because they heard that he had done this sign. The Pharisees, therefore, said among themselves, "You see that you are accomplishing nothing. Look, the whole world has gone after him." Now there were certain Greeks among those who came up to worship at the feast. Then they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and asked him, saying, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip came and told Andrew, and in turn Andrew and Philip told Jesus. But Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven saying, "I have both glorified and will glorify it again." Therefore the people who stood by and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered and said, "This voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out, and I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself." This he said, signifying by what death he would die. The people answered him, "We have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever, and how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Then Jesus said to them, "A little while longer the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light." These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. But although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him, that the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke. Lord, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because, Isaiah said again, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes, lest they should understand with their hearts, and turn so that I should heal them. These things Isaiah said when he saw his glory and spoke of him. Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Page 141, the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. No tramp of soldiers' marching feet, with banners and with drums. No sound of music's martial beat, the King of Glory comes. To greet that pomp of kingly pride, no hell's in triumph ring, no city gates swing open wide, behold, behold your King. And yet he comes, the children's cheer, with palms his path is strewn, with every step the cross draws near, the King of Glory comes. Astride a colt he passes by, as loud hosannas ring. Or else the very stones would cry, behold, behold your King. What fading flowers his robe adorns, the palms how soon laid down. No bloom or leaf, but only thorn, the King of Glory's crown. The soldiers mock, the rabble cries, the streets with tumult ring. As Pilate to the mob replies, behold, behold your King. Now he who bore for mortal's sake the cross and all its pains, and chose a
King of glory reigns. Hosanna to the Savior's name, till heaven's rafters ring, and all the ransomed host proclaim, behold, behold your King.
Our sermon text is from John chapter 12, verse 17 and 18. Therefore, the people who were with him, when he called Lazarus out of his tomb and raised him from the dead, bore witness. And for this reason, the people also met him, because they heard that he had done this sign. This is our text. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
In John chapter 11, we learn that Lazarus lived in Bethany with his sisters, Mary and Martha. And as you know well, these sisters sent word to Jesus saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. He who you love, a dear way to talk about Lazarus. But due to Jesus' delay, he arrived after Lazarus had already died, in fact, 4 days ago, and now he is lying in the tomb. Jesus raised him from the tomb, and in today's text, which is John chapter 12, we learn that those who were present at the house when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead was telling everyone about what Jesus had done. Today's reading, John 1 through 11 of today's account, is about Saturday before Palm Sunday. Verses 12 through 16 then record the Palm Sunday account, but the rest of the verses belong to Holy Week. Now Jesus has come to Jerusalem, and he's come to celebrate this multi-day Passover festival. And he's staying at Lazarus' home in Bethany. It's only a couple miles from Jerusalem and very convenient. Many of the Jewish pilgrims needed to stay outside the city because there was not enough room or space for all the visitors. And so Jesus would go into Jerusalem for the day, teaching in the temple courtyards, and then he would return to the house of Lazarus in the evening. Now, the contrast between Jesus' reception in these two places was stark. In Jerusalem, Jesus went toe-to-toe with the liberal Sadducees and the hypocritical Pharisees. No love was lost on Jesus by these religious authorities. Jesus taught from the scriptures, and he refuted all of their objections, and it was very confrontational. Today's introit from Psalm 35 reflects their attacks and most likely Jesus' prayers. Verse 11, fierce witnesses rise up. They ask me things I do not know. 12, they reward me evil for good to the sorrow of my soul. 1, plead my cause, O Lord, with those who strive with me. Fight against those who fight against me. 2, take hold of shield and buckler and stand up for my help. The epistle explains Jesus' approach to all of their attacks. Quote, when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. Now, the joyous and gracious reception in Jerusalem by the people on Palm Sunday, that was an exception. And to tell you, it's not light that the Pharisees did not like it. They were not happy. The Pharisees therefore said among yourselves, you see that you are accomplishing nothing. Look, the whole world has gone after him. The religious authorities made plans to kill Jesus. And they were content simply with making plans to kill Jesus. Verse 10 and 11 says, but the chief priests plotted to put Lazarus to death also. because on account of him, many of the Jews went away and believed in Jesus. So here's his reception at the first place, Jerusalem. What about the second? Stark contrast. Consider Jesus at Lazarus' house. John 11:5, a little bit earlier, says, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus." At Lazarus' home in Bethany, Jesus was with his people and those whom he loved. During Holy Week, Jesus could return here each evening to be refreshed. He would teach, and they would receive his teaching as they loved him almost as much as he loved them. In addition, verse 9 says, "Now a great many of the Jews knew that he was there, and they came." They came not for Jesus' sake only, but also that they might see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. You see, many other believing pilgrims also took advantage of the close proximity of Lazarus' house in Bethany, and they also came out in the evening in order to listen and to be with Jesus, maybe not even getting enough of him in the temple in the day. I'm reminded of Psalm 122, verse 1. Which says, "I was glad when they said to me, 'Let us go into the house of the Lord.'" Kind of ironic that the house of the Lord didn't seem like much, but the house of Lazarus had become the house of the Lord. There Jesus would preach the word. There the people would receive his teaching and pray for help. Yes. That's the description of God's house. "And I was glad when they said, 'Let us go to the house of the Lord.'" We too have a wonderful Holy Week of divine services and prayer services ahead of us. We can come each day to be refreshed by our Lord who loves us dearly. We too, however, yes, we must return to our vocations. And yes, we will leave the respite of God's house. We too must pray that God would sustain us when the world weighs in and weighs us down, when others attack our Christian faith. So today's collect gives us a direction for these days. Today's collect says this: "Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we implore you that we who amid so many adversities do fail through our own infirmities may be restored through the passion and intercession of your only begotten Son." We are the beloved and baptized children of God. We begin our day with the sign of the Holy Cross. We pray that our Lord, and we ask that all our doings in life would please him. Nevertheless, this collect speaks of two things that are against us. First, we are among so many adversities. Yes, the many and great dangers which are before us could so easily overwhelm us. But I tell you, our Lord holds back. He holds back so many of them each and every day, and we never even see them come our way. Nevertheless, even in those which God allows to get through, and that for our own chastisement and for our good, we know, yes, these many and great, we can't handle them. It is more than enough. Second, we do fail, as it says, through our own infirmities. You know, we might consider ourselves to be strong. Yep, I can able to handle it. And then the word and the things that come upon us teach us that we are wrong. We are weak. Our own infirmities get the best of us. When it comes to spiritual battles, we have our sinful infirmities. We have our sinful nature and we have our weaknesses. We get to the end of each day and we confess, "Forgive us our trespasses where we have done wrong." Yes, the collect speaks of these two enemies that are against us, things that prevent us. But this is not our first rodeo. We have been through Holy Week, and we have arrived at Easter before. So what do? Well, we desire to attend all the services. We promise to listen to all the readings. We say that we will put the hearing of God's word first, but what? We stay up late, and we're too tired. We get distracted by life, and our sinful desires and lusts capture our thoughts, and we find that we are falling short. Yes, that's what those two enemies do against us. And so the prayer says that we may be restored. No, we don't begin this task without counting the cost. And when we count the cost, we say, you know what? I don't have the money. But I know someone who does. And I have a Jesus who does count the cost and is able to perfectly pay the ransom price for us. I have a Jesus who goes to the cross, who lives his Holy Week without sin, and then goes to the cross for us that he might forgive us our sins. And so we pray that we may be restored, brought back. How are we restored? We're restored through the passion. That's why we come to hear about Jesus' passion and what he has done, that he might restore us, that he might put us back in our condition as beloved, baptized children of God, and restored by the passion. And more than that, it says, by the intercession of your only begotten Son. He prays for us, even when we don't know what to pray for ourselves. And so we find as we begin this Holy Week, we come. Yes, we come praying, but knowing that the Lord prays for us. We come not because we're strong, but because we're weak and we're asking for a restoration. Not just Monday, but Tuesday and Wednesday and each one of these days. And when we come to Easter, we come not to celebrate our victory over Holy Week, but his victory over Holy Week. Well, you see, our Savior Jesus, he comes to our Passover festivals. He comes to our divine services, and he comes that he might give us the spoils of the victory that he has won for us. And so, like Lazarus and Mary and Martha, he loves us very much, and he comes to be with us that he might refresh us. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.
Amen.
We stand for prayer. O Lord Jesus Christ, author and finisher of our faith, and for the joy set before you did endure the cross, despising the shame, we thank you for your unspeakable love. You not only procured for us rest by your sorrow and life by your death, but you're also pleased to impart to us a saving health, that is a daily restoration by the preaching of the cross and the word of truth. You have brought us again to the beginning of another Holy Week, and we are to meditate upon those solemn mysteries of your holy passion. We ask you by your Holy Spirit to enlighten our understanding, direct our will, that we may hear the story of your sufferings and death with our minds disengaged from worldly distractions and bent solely upon contemplating that devout reverence and for our own salvation, the wonder of your love, which even the angels desire us to look into. Enable us to realize both the enormity and the bitterness of our sins for which you were wounded, that we may repent of them, and the unfathomable depths of your grace, which where sin abounded, so also your grace abounded even more. Oh, that your image, O man of sorrow, were deeply graven upon our hearts to make our hearts yours. Give us the obedience of faith that we may now and hereafter be partakers of your plenteous redemption. Sprinkle us with your blood, cleanse our souls from sin, strengthen our hearts with the assurance of our adoption, and transform us into your image by the renewing of our mind. May the infinite fervor of your love enkindle us in steadfast faith with you and in fervent love towards one another. Have mercy upon everyone according to his need. Add your blessings to our services during this time and be with us throughout our lives. Guide us by thy good and gracious Spirit and grant that we may finally be acceptable in your sight. Hear us, O blessed Savior, for your own sake. Amen. The offertory is on your pink bulletin insert.
Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. In you I take shelter. Teach me to do your will. Give thanks to the Lord, our God.
It is good and right so to do.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. On the tree of the cross you gave salvation to mankind, that whence death arose, thence life also might rise again, and that he who by a tree once overcame, likewise by a tree might be overcome. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, Holy,
Holy Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he, blessed is he. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest.
Lord of heaven and earth, we praise and thank you for having had mercy on those whom you created, sending your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
O Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. O Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. O Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, grant us your peace.
Grant, O Almighty God, that being purified by the powerful virtue of this sacrament, we may arrive with greater purity to the author and institutor thereof, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. I will receive the bread of heaven and call upon the name of the Lord. Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak the word, and my soul shall be healed. The body of our Lord Jesus, which was given for me, preserve my body and soul unto everlasting life. Amen. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and so shall I be saved from my enemies. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was shed for me, preserve my body and soul unto everlasting life. Amen. Come. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given into death for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Take and eat the true body of Christ, given for you. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. May this true body and blood strengthen and preserve you in the true faith and to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Let them be ashamed and rot to mutual confusion. They
to rejoice at my heart. Let them be clothed with shame and dishonor, who insult themselves against me. Let them shout for joy and reflect, who favor my righteous cause. And let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servants.
Page 152, the Nunc Dimittis, Without the Glory of Patri. Lord, now let your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people. A light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good,
and his mercy endures forever.
Let us pray. May your holy mysteries, O Lord, inspire us with divine fervor, that we may both delight in their celebration and in their fruit. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us pray. Bow down your heads before God. Help us, O God of our salvation, and grant that we may celebrate with joy the memory of those mercies whereby you have graciously restored us to a new life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.